Director of Priests for Life, welcome to our conference, our Vote Pro-Life teleseminar. We are being joined by people from all over the United States, and we have a panel of top experts on a theme that is so important to all of us. That is, how can we more effectively exercise our rights and responsibilities as citizens to advance the culture of life? We are joined tonight by Gary Bauer, David Barton, Brian Birch, Marjorie Dannenfelser, and myself, and you are all able to ask questions via the teleconference webpage that we have directed you all to. If you are following by means of your computer over the internet, you'll see the box where you can submit questions. Of course, we won't be able to get to all of them during the conference call tonight. However, we will respond to all the questions, and you'll be able to go back. This teleseminar is being recorded. You'll be able to listen again to it, to direct others to it who are not able to join us live tonight, and be able also to see additional information and answers to your questions. So thanks for taking the time to be here tonight. Let us begin with prayer by turning to the Lord who gives us our freedom as well as our responsibilities. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of life, for the gift of freedom, for the gift of America, and for the wisdom to know how to defend what is good and what is right, how to do so in peaceful, positive, practical ways, bring about change. Thank you for the wisdom to know how to take advantage of the moment, how to read the signs of the times, and how to guide and encourage one another in our responsibilities. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have in our churches to proclaim your word, to mobilize your people to action for change. Thank you, Lord, for all of those who are joining us on this conference call. Thank you for all that we have been able to do in the past, and for all that with your grace we must and will yet achieve. We ask your blessings, your protection, and your continued wisdom through the power and grace of your Holy Spirit. We ask all of this through the author of life, the conqueror of death, the only savior of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, let me give you a little background as to what brings us here tonight. We have, over the years, seen within the pro-life movement a number of organizations and leaders give a particular emphasis on the political responsibility of believers. And in saying this and in emphasizing this, the point is not that the solution to our problems is in politics. The solution to our problems is only in Jesus Christ. And people follow him and respond to him and worship him precisely because they believe that, as we do. The point, however, is that our response to Jesus Christ, our discipleship in this country, includes the responsibility to exercise our citizenship. And that part of the solution to our problems, part of the way to avoid our problems from getting worse, is to be completely faithful in exercising our political responsibilities. We have the freedom to elect our leaders. We have the freedom to lobby those who are elected, and to illumine them with the word of God, to challenge injustice. If we have that freedom, if we have that opportunity, then we believe we have also the serious obligation to follow through with concrete action. Many of those groups that have taken such action, educational activity, mobilizing and educating voters, everyone of these groups that has done this in the past also feels the need to collaborate with other groups that are doing likewise. And this year, we want to foster and encourage that collaboration as much as we can. This is the first of a number of efforts that we will undertake this year to bring together leaders and experts and to rally our forces as much as we can to move as many people as we can to the point where they are as effective as possible. We want to talk tonight, therefore, about what individuals can do, what organizations can do, and what churches can do to be even more effective in the elections that face us in this year of 2010. I've asked the panelists that are with us tonight to comment on a number of different aspects of this particular challenge. And before we get underway, those of you who are following by computer will see in the lower left-hand part of the screen a box with a red trim which says politicalresponsibility.com. That's a special website that we at Priests for Life have set up in order to bring in one place as much of the teaching of the church about political responsibility and the practical activities that can be done as possible. You'll find there resources for churches, organizations, and individuals, and we'll refer to a number of pages on that website as we go through our conference tonight. If you're listening just by phone, I invite you to jot that website down, politicalresponsibility.com, and to use it during the course of the weeks and months to come as we prepare for the elections of this year. What I'd like to do first is to invite Gary Bauer to give us a word of greeting and some perspectives from his own insights on this important topic. Gary Bauer founded American Values in the year 2000. He has been a staffer in the Reagan White House, president of the Family Research Council. He founded and was president of the Campaign for Working Families. He is an author of some excellent books. He is currently with American Values and is one of our nation's most effective spokesmen for pro-life, pro-family, and pro-growth values. We value his friendship and all that he does. Gary, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you, Father Pavone. It's a pleasure and an honor to be part of the call, and it's exciting to be talking to pro-life people all over the country this evening. I think we all know that our country faces a lot of really difficult problems, and you know, if you get up in the morning and look at the newspaper, every day you see stories about people losing their homes, about unemployment, about the incredible budget deficit, and all those issues are extremely important, and they're all issues that will affect the future of the United States. But I really believe with all my heart that as important as those issues are, if we don't get this issue right, the sanctity of life, America is going to be in deep, deep trouble down the road. Whether or not we balance our budget or get our unemployment down or whatever the issues might be that each of us are worried about, the last year has been in some ways good times and bad times on this issue. The good part of all this is that I'm sure most of you realize that the polling data shows over the last year that the country has made a pretty dramatic shift to the sanctity of life. For the first time, significant majorities of the American people say they're pro-life. Polling shows that most Americans are against most abortions. And those are positive signs. Those things indicate to me that all the great groups that have been working out there from 1973 on have been able to slowly but surely educate the American people about the humanity of the unborn child and about why all of our children ought to be welcomed into the world, protected by the law, given a seat at the table, and be part of the American family. The bad news about the last year is that the law in the United States, public policy in the United States, has moved further and further away in the last year from our pro-life values. We saw the new president issue an executive order, one of his first acts in office, requiring the American taxpayers to subsidize abortions abroad. We've seen just incredibly large numbers of sometimes radically pro-abortion individuals appointed to key positions throughout the federal government. The abortion movement, the pro-abortion movement, if anything, seems as if it's been able to pick up strength within government in the last year. We even saw in recent weeks how the health care bill, which many people in Congress said was one of the most important things they could ever deal with, actually was in its own way blown up by the abortion issue. That is, there were so many members of Congress that were insisting, on the one hand, that the bill require us all to pay for abortions, and then there were a core group of people in both parties insisting they could never support such a bill, that the bill ended up slowing down and, at least as of now, not passing. So all of that is to say that this upcoming set of elections in November of this year is a tremendous opportunity to elect people, whatever party they're running in, to begin to get the law of the United States to reflect more accurately the current views of the American people, which, as I said, have moved in a more pro-life direction. I was a little disappointed in 2008 when we tried to get some of the pro-life vote out, and millions of pro-lifers did vote, but I found in the work that we were doing that many pro-life voters were discouraged. They didn't think the election mattered very much. Others were very confused about which candidates are pro-life and which ones are not. So I think we all feel that this year we've got to work overtime to make sure that every pro-life voter from one end of the country to the other is engaged. Engaged not only in November when we re-elect the entire United States House of Representatives and one-third of all of our senators, but engaged all during the year because there will be primaries in many of these states selecting the candidates for each party. And it's important that pro-life voters be in those primaries because often the people picked in the primaries end up being sure things in November. So we have to make sure that in every one of these elections, we show up in great numbers. We bring our neighbors, our friends, people that we go to church with, those that we work with. We've got a great opportunity here to educate our fellow citizens, explain to them why this issue is so important, and then show up in numbers that are unprecedented. By doing that, my friends, I am absolutely convinced there is nothing better we can do to save our country and get it on the right path and make it that shining city upon a hill that the founding fathers wanted to give to us. Thank you, Father Prevone.
Gary, thank you so much. And for those who just joined, we've been hearing from Gary Bauer of American Values. And Gary, of course, you know of what you speak when you talk about the primaries and the whole process of elections. You yourself have been a candidate for the highest office in our land, and in line with what you just said, you know, it answers one of the questions that has come into us tonight via the email, and that is, you know, how do we elect pro-life candidates, especially if in our state it tends to be a heavily liberal or democratic, and using the primaries is a key part of the answer to that question. So many people lament on election day, oh, well, I don't like any of the candidates, or none of them are really acceptable. Well, it's in the primaries that we have much more leverage to make sure that the candidates on the ballot, at least one of them, is someone that we can live with and that we can support enthusiastically. Along these lines, to give all of you a tool here to implement what Gary has said to us, again, at the lower left of your screen is a link to politicalresponsibility.com. I invite you to click on that link, and I want to show you one of the many resources on that page. Once you click on that link, you will notice at the upper left-hand portion of the page a series of links under the Political Responsibility Center. In the upper left, you will see one link that says State Information. If you go to that link that says State Information, you will then see that we have voter information for each of the 50 states. And one of the important links that is there at the top of that page, it says, click here for the state primary dates. If we're going to encourage participation in the primaries, we have to make sure people know the dates of the primaries. And we're asking organizations and churches and individuals, even from now, to begin alerting their membership to the primary election dates in their state and urge participation. The documents here that have the state primary dates are in two different formats. One gives the primary dates in alphabetical order by state. So you simply look for your state and you see the date of the primary elections. For the other one, it's the state primary dates in chronological order. And you notice that the first one is coming up in just a week. It's February the 2nd. Illinois starts with state primary. So it's we're certainly not starting too early here to get people thinking along these lines. I'd like to introduce our next panelist, Marjorie Dannenfelser, to talk to us about why 2010 in particular can be a year of significant progress in the political arena. Marjorie is president and chair of the board of the Susan B. Anthony List. Now, if you want to see a group that is really mobilizing people, making progress in getting pro-life candidates into office, Marjorie's group is certainly doing this, and they have done tremendous work this year also in the fight to keep abortion out of health care reform. Prior to launching the Susan B. Anthony List, which has hundreds of thousands of supporters around the nation, Marjorie was working on Capitol Hill as staff director of the Congressional Pro-Life Caucus. So she knows this world of politics and legislation. Marjorie, welcome to the call, and give us your perspective about the opportunity that 2010 gives us.
Thank you, Father. And my dear friends on the call, we have been through a lot this year already. And in answer to your question, in short, we all know that we have built a very strong muscle through this healthcare fight, and in reaction to an enormous overreach on the part of this president. The pro-life movement has responded in numbers like we have never seen before. They've responded to a historic moment that really equals the passage, frankly, in my opinion, of the Roe versus Wade, that decision. This pro-life community has risen to the occasion, have built a tremendous muscle. I mean, just kind of one example from the Susan B. Anthony purview is that we had a goal of contacting of about 300,000 contacts to Congress this year. And before the end of the year, we had already reached 1.5 million contacts just this past year. So, and that is not because we are great magicians and because we are so great at our job, though we do try to reach people. It is because the people of this nation have risen up and have responded at a time that is greatly needed. Now that muscle is built up, it's time to use that muscle and use the power that we have to really change the political landscape and usher in a new group of members of Congress and members of the Senate that will cherish life. I was just talking to my husband at the dinner table here, and he read something that Obama said today. There was a congressman bemoaning to the president that we're at a time that looks a little bit like 1994, which was a year that the Democrat Congress changed over to the Republican to be majority Republican, and a real shock to the country because the environment was very much like it is right now. Obama said, "Well, the only difference between 1994 and now is me." And we'll see what difference that makes. Well, I think that he'll be surprised. I think we're going to be very happy on this election day if we do our job. There is a political sort of Bible for junkies in town. I'm sorry, Father, to use that. No disrespect. It's called the Cook Report. And it goes through every single House race in the country. And I think it's really significant because the House is the body that is closest to the will of the people. And it goes through every race in the country and categorizes them as either this incumbent is vulnerable, could easily be unelected, or this incumbent is really safe and probably won't be unelected. Well, you can't always go by Democrat and Republican. However, there is a lot of hope in these numbers, given that the Republican Party so far has held firm on the pro-life plank. Democrats currently have 40 seats that are listed as either leaning Democrat, meaning you can't assume that they're going to be Democrat, or it's a total toss-up. Nobody knows which way it's going to go. That's 40 seats. That's a lot of seats. Republicans have just 10 seats that are in the lean or toss-up category. Now, again, this is not about party because life transcends party, but what these numbers show is that because of the tremendous overreach on the part of this president along the lines of what Gary articulated so well, he has put himself and his party, and his party has put itself, in a very, very vulnerable position. And now is our time to step up to the plate and really get involved in these elections and really make a change. Now, I wanted to make one comment also about what Gary said about the polls that now show that this nation is majority label themselves pro-life is significant. That means that everyone listening on this call has done a beautiful job at putting love at the center of this movement, being very attractive, so that people are very happy affixing the label pro-life to themselves. And that is a huge seismic shift that has occurred since this president took office. So you should be patting yourself on the back, but not too soon, because we still have a lot of work to go. Time to use that muscle that we built, leverage it in this election, and take back some seats for life.
Marjorie, thank you so much for your comments and for all you do. We look forward to hearing more from you a little bit later in the call about some of the concrete things that we can do. But friends, if you are looking and following this conference over your computer, let me point you to another resource that builds on something that Marjorie just said. As she pointed out, this is not so much about party as about the fundamental and transcendent issue of life. Parties, of course, do matter because aside from the positions that the individual candidates take on this most fundamental issue, the parties themselves have positions. What we are doing as part of this Vote Pro-Life effort in 2002 is doing everything possible to give you the tools to educate your neighbors, your organizations, your families, your churches about the positions both of candidates and of the parties. So if you look at the screen on the event page for this teleconference, in the upper left-hand section, you see three main links. The middle link says candidates. If you click on that link for a moment, the page that you see that comes up is our page on our Political Responsibility Center, on which, during the course of the months to come, as the candidates in various races become clear, we will place voter guides that you can use. Now, when I say you can use, I mean that these voter guides will be created within all the necessary legal frameworks for churches to use and for organizations that are 501c3, according to the Internal Revenue Code, in that category, that they can use these voter guides without any fear of legal repercussions. Now, right now, at this point, what you will see on that page is not a candidate comparison, but rather a party comparison. We have prepared a special insert, a flyer, that gives you two columns where you can compare some of the key assertions of the Democratic and Republican Party platforms as they have existed and evolved over the years. And you can tell how those parties have been moving and what direction they've been moving on some of the key issues of our day, like human life and marriage and family. And this is, again, purely informational. It's amazing how many people have loyalty to a political party, which is not wrong in and of itself, but are oblivious to the changes that have taken place, sometimes very radical changes, in the actual positions of those parties. So again, on the conference call page, the upper left-hand section, the link that says candidates, when you go there, you will see the page that I'm talking about and can download the resource to which I'm referring. It's now time for us to hear from another good friend, David Barton, founder and president of Wall Builders. I remember the first time I heard David speak at a national event, I said to myself, this is someone we definitely need to work with and join forces with. Through Wall Builders, has done a tremendous job in rebuilding the walls of our national heritage, the foundation of our country, and understanding of how and why our country came to be what it is. He's the author of numerous best-selling books. And one of the most impressive things, when David gives a talk about the Founding Fathers, for example, he won't just quote them. He'll pull out of his briefcase the original letters that they wrote. He has many original writings from the founding era. David has been named by Time Magazine as one of America's 25 most influential evangelicals. He's received numerous awards, and he is, above all, a friend who is just such a pleasure to work with. And thank you, David, for blessing us with being on this call tonight.
Thank you, Father. It is great to be with you and appreciate so much your leadership and all the things that you do. This is absolutely wonderful. And what I've been asked to talk about tonight is the obstacles that the pro-abortion forces are likely to put in our way as we try to get the pro-life movement kind of back on track. One of the things that we saw in the last election was that among those Christians who claim to be devout Christians, 45% voted on economic issues more than moral issues. So the pro-abortion forces know that that's a really good tactic to use. It's kind of like a magician. Anytime you have a magician, the hand he waves and raises in the air is not the hand you ought to be watching. You ought to watch the other hand because that's where all the stuff's going on. And so what they will do is they will try to divert attention and move in a different direction. They'll try to talk about everything except life. Even with the recent election that happened in Massachusetts and people are talking about the change that made, yeah, that did make a change. But I've been talking to members of Congress, and the thing that continues to stop health care is not Scott Brown from Massachusetts. It is a Stupak amendment. The pro-life side's in the House. And there's pro-life people that absolutely will not change their vote on health care because of the abortion issue. And that's the greatest sticking point they have now between the House and the Senate. It's not the Scott Brown election. So they'll talk about everything except the real issue that's out there. What we have to do is every time they do that, we have to keep taking people back and saying, yeah, but you know, here's what's really significant. Here's what we really need to remember. I've actually, in talking to particularly religious groups, I've ended up debating officials from the Obama administration that go out to represent the president. I've been on the other side of the debate, and I have been intrigued with the language that they use, because as I will talk about the abortion issues that are out there and the things that have been done, and the pro-life caucus in the House, for example, reported that within the first 4 months of the new administration, they had enacted 39 pro-abortion measures in the first 4 months. Some unbelievable measures. As many years as we've been fighting abortion issues on Capitol Hill, we had some new ones this year we've never seen before. And the Foreign Affairs Appropriation Foreign Authorization Bill, they actually included funding this time for a worldwide office of global women's issues. Now, that office exists to promote two things. It says that it exists to promote abortions and homosexuality worldwide. I guarantee you, most Christians, most heard nothing about that office being added to the State Department, that we're now funding an office to promote abortion and homosexuality worldwide. That's the kind of thing that if we can get out and we can keep our people focused on the things, then as these magicians wave their hand in the air, people won't be watching that. They'll be watching the other hand. So with all the measures that are out there, we have to focus on those other things. So as I was in this debate with some of these Obama officials, I was intrigued with the fact that they know that life is an issue and they know they've got to get attention away from it. And they said, well, you know, the president is pro-life on 6 out of 7 issues. He's pro-life on helping the poor. He's pro-life on the environment. And he went through all these pro-life. The only thing he wasn't pro-life on was human life. And that's what they don't want to talk about. They want to talk about the other 6. So the obstacles we'll have to face will be new things they want to talk about. Already today, the White House has announced that they're going to start talking about how they have to get more jobs and the economy back on track. And that's fine, but we have to keep going back and making sure people hear headlines or hear things that are not in the headlines. And that's going to be our greatest objective for the next 10 or so months, is keeping people focused on what really is important.
David, thank you so much. We'll be hearing more from David Barton, president of Wall Builders, later on in our call this evening. For those of you who just joined us, welcome once again to this teleseminar. You will see links on the website page if you are following over the computer. We looked at the link for candidate information and information about the positions of the parties. At this point, I want to call you, brothers and sisters, to take one action step in the days and weeks ahead, and that is simply this. On the teleseminar page, in the upper left-hand side of the page, you see a link that says what churches and organizations can do. Now, our expert panelists are going to comment in more detail as we go on with this call this evening, particular things that churches, organizations, and individuals can do. But that link goes to a special website that has been prepared precisely for the leaders of organizations, big and small, and also for pastors, to use so that they can know simple things that do not consume a lot of time or energy, that do not cost very much at all, if anything, but can have a major impact in doing what we're talking about tonight, and that is mobilizing and educating as many voters as possible. If you click on that link, you'll see that this special page has a number of areas that it covers by special links. It has, for example, a simple material that people can put on the website of their organization or their church, a few sentences or paragraphs they can put in their newsletters or mailings, ways that they can recruit volunteers, how they can find information about voting laws in each state, information about the prayer campaign that we will launch this year for our nation's elections, information about television and radio shows on political responsibility, and then more detailed recommendations for groups and for pastors. Here's what we're asking you to do. Bring this information, bring this particular web page to the attention of the leaders of groups that you know, pastors that you have access to, and introduce them to it. Become familiar with it yourself. Now, this site will obviously be in need of constant updating throughout the course of the coming weeks and months, and that's exactly what we will do, updating it and also bringing to this site the resources of so many of the other organizations that are joining in this coalition effort to really make an impact in this year's election. So there'll be constantly new material here, material that will meet the needs of all of you and of the organizations and of the churches as we come to know those needs better as we move along in this important election year. At this point, it's my pleasure to introduce another friend and expert on these matters, Brian Birch. Now, many of you, I'm sure, saw the powerful ads that have come out from CatholicVote.org. The use of short, powerful videos is something that is when it's done well, and certainly Brian and his team have done this exceptionally well, can really, really turn minds and hearts. It's not just with information. It's by engaging the whole person, the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, the visuals. CatholicVote.org have done a marvelous job on this, and I'm sure we can look forward to more to come. Brian is co-founder and president of the Fidelis Center for Law and Public Policy. That's the organization under which CatholicVote.org falls. And he has developed a very successful blog that is at CatholicVoteAction.org. And he has been a tremendous leader in promoting the very, very simple but important theme that the paramount issue for voting is, in fact, the right to life. Brian, thanks for being with us on the call tonight.
Thank you very much, Father, and thank you to Marjorie and David and Gary and all those that are participating on the call this evening. You know, after that that very kind and inspirational introduction, I get to talk about one of the least exciting aspects of 2010, but perhaps the most important element in our efforts to have the day after election for us to be happy with the result. I want to actually, for a second, just mention a few thoughts that I have and then mention a few facts I think everyone needs to consider as we prepare. I want to talk about registering to vote. And you may have seen some of the statistics, and these are somewhat depressing statistics, about the ways in which the Catholic vote turned out last election, or the Christian vote, or the pro-life vote. The fact of the matter is, we may have lost in small margins in the actual election in 2008 and 2006. But what never does get reported and doesn't get enough attention is the number of people that did not vote. And this is a very significant thing, because a lot of us focus on trying to convince our neighbors and friends and coworkers and fellow Catholics and fellow Protestants that of why such and such candidate should or should not have been elected. And those are difficult discussions to have, and they divide families, and they divide friends, and they divide coworkers. But there's no easier conversation for you to have with these associates than, are you registered to vote? And if you're not, here is a voter registration form. Please get involved. Your vote matters. Now, we've heard the term the silent majority. Again, there's a reason why the silent majority is silent, and it's because they don't vote. And the reason they don't vote is because they are not registered to vote. And again, I want to emphasize the huge, huge numbers of people that are not voting today, that if we are able to get them to vote, we'll turn this election, and we'll turn it in a significant way. Now, there's a famous quote, I think someone said, bad officials are elected by good citizens who do not vote. And there's so much significance and substance to that statement. And I, again, want to emphasize what Father Pavone is doing on politicalresponsibility.com. The tools there, particularly as it relates to the regulations that are that govern the voter registration rules for each state. Each state is different. Some of them have some similarities. You are able to register to vote generally up to 30 days prior to an election. And so I would encourage you to use his website to access the sites that have information about the rules governing voter registration, and you can do so on his site. The final thing I'll say is this. It's often said amongst people in Washington, and I'm sure Marjorie will attest, that the election season begins the day after Labor Day. This is the time, of course, when ad agencies and campaigns and people really, in general, really start to mobilize. And
that's right, Brian.
It's usually also because the American electorate actually starts paying attention. Well, I have some news. The 2010 elections began January 19th last week, and that is because America is already engaged in this. They're already interested, they're perked up, they're watching, and they're more interested than they ever have been, at least in my lifetime, and certainly I think for a long period. And the point is this, we need to take advantage of this momentum. And right now we are not necessarily going to be talking about candidates per se, because the primaries are still going to occur, and we're still going to get into this process as the races mature and begin to come into focus. But what we can focus on is voter registration. And that's precisely what we need to be doing these next several months to make sure 2010 is a success.
Brian, thank you so much. And we'll certainly be looking forward to our collaboration with you this year and to certainly getting out far and wide the resources and any future videos that you'll be producing to emphasize and to accentuate what Brian was just saying about voter registration. Again, folks, let me give you a simple action item. If you're following on the screen at the teleconference page, again, at the lower left, that link to politicalresponsibility.com. If we can go there just for a moment and look again in the upper left-hand section of that page where you see some key links. This is in the blue section in the upper left Once you vote, once you click on politicalresponsibility.com, the third link in that first blue section says Register Voters. Go to that page for a moment, and you will find some very key information to implement what Brian was just explaining about a top priority to begin to register people now. You will see there information that will help you to find, again, the state dates, the voter registration deadlines, both for the primaries and for the general election, which this year is Tuesday, November the 2nd. Dates are critical. People have to register on time. Secondly, you will notice that we've designated there four particular weekends of the year that we are asking churches to conduct voter registration drives. Those four National Voter Registration Sundays are March 14th, May 23rd, July 4th, and September 12th. What you'll find also on this page are links that will take you to legal information so that you can inspire pastors and other leaders of organizations that it is perfectly legal to have voter registration forms available for the members of the congregation or for the members of the organization as they come to events, banquets, conferences, meetings. Have the voter registration forms there. Invite them to fill them out. And on those four Sundays in particular, although the voter registration can take place anytime during the year, on these four Sundays, we're going to make special efforts to have churches join together to register their congregation members who might not be registered. Again, March 12th, May 23rd, July 4th, September 12th, and you'll be hearing a lot more about that. But our action point here is very simply read what's on this page and, again, bring it to the attention of pastors, leaders of organizations, and start talking now about how you can have a voter registration opportunity at your events. Many of you organize pro-life events, prayer vigils, pregnancy center banquets, conventions, and again, some of you here on this call tonight are pastors or have influence in planning what your particular church does. Initiate a voter registration Sunday or some other voter registration opportunities, and let's start reaching the people who are not registered or perhaps who have moved since the last election and therefore need to re-register or indicate the change of address so that they can be connected with their new polling place. Okay, as we move on here, then I want to ask Marjorie back on, Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List. We want to talk about some other particular concrete activities, and I've invited Marjorie to share her thoughts about such things as educating the candidates and the voters about life issues, informing voters about candidate positions, getting people to the polls, and other activities that we can do as individuals, organizations, and churches. Marjorie?
Thank you, Father. I really wanted to first echo what David said, so that we all have confidence that this actually really matters, that actually elections really matter, and that this issue has the power to move elections because it's captured the soul of the nation. Think about it. This one issue, this very important issue that the president has underestimated, brought down his number one, so far, we think, the number one domestic policy goal that he had. He completely underestimated, and so did most of the media, underestimate the power that this has to stir the soul of America. And the only reason I bring it up is I want everyone, and myself included, and everyone here to know, to have confidence that it will move voters in elections. And when it does move voters in elections, there are consequences, because laws that our elected officials pass really do save lives. The data shows this, that when you fund an option, when you fund an abortion, it increases its incidence. The Hyde Amendment saves 130,000 children a year. So when the Hyde Amendment fails, we lose 130,000 more children a year. So it matters. So have confidence in that. And then on a really concrete level, build accountability teams. This is how I really look at politics on the local person-to-person level. It's all social. it's built in a transcendent reality, but politics is very social. It's one-on-one. It's very personal, and it's about building accountability teams on the policy level and on the political level. So everyone who you know that you can communicate with, whether it be through Facebook, whether it be through meetings, church meetings, everyone that you already are working with on the keeping abortion out of healthcare issue, or if you haven't got involved, be doing that now. This is the same team that you are going to be able to work with to help elect a life member of Congress or a senator or a president when election time comes. And the way to do that, as it just like anybody who's ever run for school board, anyone who's ever been in the PTO, anyone who's ever been involved in any group whatsoever, is give folks something attractive to come to. It's attractive to try to fight this battle of abortion in healthcare. It has attracted millions more than it did, millions more to this movement than it had ever been involved. So use that group and take this issue directly to the member of Congress that is in your district and make sure you are communicating very directly, whether they're pro-life, pro-choice, or somewhere in the middle. Make sure you, with your group, your accountability group, are communicating directly in their town hall meetings, in your letters, in your phone calls, and everything that you do, increase those numbers. And that is the first way to attract people into the fold. And then that is exactly the same group, everybody here on the call, plus everyone you know, who will need to be engaged in helping elect this, helping either reelect your very pro-life member of Congress or finding a new one to restaff the Congress and represent you well. And it's purely social. Plan a meet and greet for the primary candidate that you really like, and it'll do something very important. It will expose him to new voters. It will establish a friendship between you and your group and this member of Congress, who will now know that pro-life people are very much behind their candidacy. Establish, if you've got teenagers or you yourself know how to use Facebook, use it, because it's a very powerful tool in organizing folks to either communicate directly on a policy issue or communicate campaign activities that are going on, like all the registration drives that y'all have been talking about, or whatever is going on. Early voting is the big tidal wave of electioneering right now. In Florida, almost half of the folks who voted in the last election voted before Election Day. So this is a key part of what we ought to be doing right now. Thanks be to God you have started now, Father, because right now we can already be talking to people about keeping an eye to early voting when there are actual candidates. And that will be an important and number one activity for every group that we get together. Just by way of example, and this is where I'll end, when the Susan B. Anthony List and Gary and several other groups were involved in a little race up in upstate New York, in New York 23, where we got involved in a third-party race because the Republican candidate was so awful. She was anti-marriage. She got the Margaret Sanger Award for her abortion activity. She was just awful. Just 3 weeks out, we moved in, literally physically moved into the district. And there were folks there in the pro-life movement that had not been engaged and activated in years because no one had tried. No one had reached out to them to bring them into campaigns. Well, all of the activity of that campaign that was almost successful, we recruited 200 volunteers in just a couple of weeks. And it was because they were engaged and excited about a candidate. And in the end, that is actually what will be. First, they will be attracted by policy interests. Then they will be attracted by the candidate. And you're networking with those folks and giving them concrete activities to do and giving them a social network to continue to get together and to continue giving them solid activities to engage in to help promote the candidate that they really believe in will, in the end, make an enormous difference, and it'll save lives. And in the end, I really, really do believe we will be happy with the election results this November the 2nd. But it will take a lot of work, and it will take vigilance and nobody relaxing. And I don't think anybody here on this call has been relaxing, because we see an amount of activity that is unsurpassed, in my view, in the pro-life movement.
Marjorie, thank you so much, and thank you again for all that the Susan B. Anthony List does. Folks, we can't overemphasize the importance of understanding, as has been stated already tonight, that the election season of 2010 has already begun, and people are going to be paying more and more attention to it now, developments in the news helping, and likewise, we're dealing tonight with a lot of energy just coming off of the March for Life and the Walk for Life West Coast. And we are seeing now the critical importance of starting early, starting now. Why? Because it takes time to build up teams, to identify volunteers who can carry out the kind of activities we're talking about. It takes time to persuade our pastors or leaders of other organizations to begin including things in their newsletters, in their bulletins. It takes time to find volunteers who will register voters, to get more familiar with the process. And the primaries are already beginning even next week. So do not in any way think that it is too early. We have to act now. We can't wait until the fall. We can't wait until later on, or until we feel we have more time to do this. It is the team that is more energized, more activated, and that starts sooner that ultimately mobilizes and gathers more voters, and that in the end is what makes elections. Not public opinion or even money, but ultimately it all boils down to one thing: how many people actually cast their vote by election night. The point that Marjorie made about early voting, again, on politicalresponsibility.com, you will see the link for state information, and on that state information page, you will see the dates that your state, if it allows early voting, has that option open to the people, both for the primary and the general election days. So utilize early voting, promote early voting, and in all of the activities we're recommending tonight, once again, let's start now. I want to call on David Barton again of Wall Builders to give us some additional thoughts on these matters of practical action we can all take. David, are you with us?
There we go. Sorry about that, sir. I want to jump right in with what Marjorie was saying, and I want to also emphasize the fact that we have a great, really a great platform of victory that we don't often think about. I love the information that came out following the March for Life on Sunday, but the polling numbers are just unbelievable in our favor. Only 7% of the nation agrees with the president's positions on abortion. The problem is they don't know what his positions are. But once they're laid out there, only 7% are in accord with all the positions he's had, voting as a senator, state senator, U.S. senator, et cetera. So there's a wide margin, just people don't know. In the same way, only 24% of Americans agree with completely unrestricted abortions. 76% want some type of restriction, whether it's parental notification, parental consent, et cetera. And among teens, and you may have seen the article that came out yesterday in the Washington Post, but teens, man, our teens are so pro-life. In 20 years, when they become our leaders, I think if we have not ended abortion by then, and Lord willing, we will, but if we haven't, they surely will, only 19% of teens support abortion on demand. So we have things moving in a good direction and right direction. We just have to make sure that we communicate to those around us, because by and large, most people are pro-life. They just don't necessarily know the information. They don't know the issues. They don't necessarily know what the president or the Congress has done. And getting that information out really does help. So we have to be a mouthpiece, because that is not going to be something that the media covers. That is not going to be something that they talk about, and we do need to talk about that. One of the good ways to do that is viral marketing. I love the small clips that Brian has been doing. And, man, you get those and you blast them around to your friends and you blast them everybody in your list, and it helps remind them in a very positive, uplifting manner how important the life issue is. So being able to use any email list you have and send around good information is great. Another way to do that is just subscribe to things like Life News, lifenews.org. Man, they've got so much good pro-life information going on, especially positive stuff. And just blast that around to friends. Help them to remember this so that it stays in their mind. Along with that, I would especially urge folks to get involved in primaries. I don't know why, but Christians say, well, you know, I don't want to be partisan. I want to be independent. I'm just going to wait for the general. And what happens is when we wait for the general, we oftentimes have a choice between the bad and the worse. The good guys are often in the primaries, and if we pro-life people don't go get them out of the primaries and move them forward to the general election, we're not going to have a good choice in the general. So we really do need to be ambitious and get involved on sides where we can make a difference, pro-life difference in the primaries, because as generally, Democrats have been very hostile to life issues, but they often have a lot of pro-life folks running in their primaries. It's just that we don't have enough pro-life Democrats voting to move them out. So whatever it is, we need to get involved in primaries and move these folks out of the primaries so that we got better choices in general. And the other thing that I would throw out, too, as a new kind of approach, and I do this a lot, and I held an elected political office in Texas for 9 years, and voters tend to characterize themselves into those that care about social issues and those that care about economic issues. And economic issues, that's Chamber of Commerce folks, and that's bankers, and that's business, and small business, and the American Federation of Business, et cetera. They care about economic issues. The interesting bridge to this, and it's a bridge that we've documented and I have a lot of fun with, is I take the economic voting groups that are out there, because people now are particularly concerned about deficit and debt and all the things that are piling up. And so within that framework, it's easy to appeal to them because I can take the voting records, for example, out of Congress of economic-rated groups, the National Taxpayers Union or Americans for Tax Reform, et cetera, and I can show you here's the best economic – if economic is your issue, here's the best votes. But the interesting thing is when I take the economic voting record and do a bump-up comparison against voting records of right-to-life groups like National Right to Life, it is almost a one-for-one correlation. If you're 100% pro-life, you're 100% good economic vote. If you're a 0% pro-life vote, you're a 0% economic vote. If you're a 58% pro-life vote, you're a 58% economic vote, et cetera. And we've been able to show.
We find that in our candidates all the time. It's the same exact thing.
That's it. And we can we document that statistically. And so now we're able to go to economic groups who say they don't care about life or, our people, bankers don't care about. All right, great. If you don't, but if you want the best economic people, you need to get behind the pro-life candidates because these are the guys who will vote your best economic interest. And that's a way to pick up a whole new group of people who will vote for pro-lifers, not necessarily because that's their issue, but because they want good pocketbook results. It's still pro-life people who do that. So those are all ways that really do help kind of move us on and move us toward the right kind of candidates and get us the right kind of results. It's just some new tools that we have at our disposal that we can definitely use. So I would definitely encourage all of those. The viral marketing, sharing good news with our friends about life issues, definitely sharing the polling news that's out there, making people aware of economic votes versus pro-life votes, how the two directly correlate. Those are all good things to help our people broaden their base and have more impact as we go through the primaries and into the general.
Well, David, thank you so much for that. I want to thank all our panelists. So we've heard tonight from Gary Bauer, from Marjorie Dannenfelser, of Susan B. Anthony List, David Barton of Wall Builders, Brian Birch, CatholicVote.org. And brothers and sisters, as we come to the end of our conference call tonight, let me tell you a few wrap-up points. First of all, we're going to have these kinds of teleseminars regularly throughout 2010, and politicalresponsibility.com will be the place where we will post the schedules, where we'll hear from experts like we've had tonight and many others around the country who will be joining us on future calls. Secondly, you will see at politicalresponsibility.com that we have a Facebook cause simply called Vote Pro-Life. That's another way to keep connected with the ideas that we will circulate and the resources we will develop, and the way you can become connected with others, even in your own community that you may not know about, but with whom you can cooperate on these very important kinds of activities. This teleseminar tonight has been recorded, and we will post the link right there at politicalresponsibility.com so that, A, you can re-listen to it in whole or in part, and, B, others who have not been able to join us live tonight can listen to it, and you can promote that link and share it through your own websites, emails, blogs, and other methods. We invite you to please do that. Keep in contact with us. And finally, I invite you to donate to these efforts, because we're going to be giving away a lot of resources completely free of charge, and you will see a donate link on our teleconference page tonight if you want to help us to do that even more generously to the folks to whom we have to get this kind of important information. Again, with gratitude to all, let us again turn to the Lord in prayer as we wrap up our call. Father, thank you for this opportunity you place before us. Inspire us with confidence tonight that in the months ahead, through the active participation of our fellow citizens, you will move our country even more in the direction of a culture of life. Lord, we want to change minds and hearts. We realize that changed minds and hearts also lead